Praise God. All right. Let's open our Bibles. And we're going to the second wonderful letter to the Corinthians here, the second epistle of Paul to these wonderful Corinthians. And by the grace of God, we were able to fellowship in His Word in the wonderful 1 Corinthians. And we saw there that truly there was such great love that was put into the life of Brother Paul. And he was bringing order to that church, not of his own might. It was just the very might of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, that used that vessel to bring forth the very Word of God. And to a people that were very confused, very mixed up. I think a people that were that are very similar to many of the Christians of this day. As we found in the Word of God, unless we truly submit, unless we truly go after the lover that has come after us, we'll get confused. We'll go into things that you'd look at and say, oh, I would never go there. But let me tell you something. You don't go in the grace of God, you'll go there. You don't realize where you'll go apart from the grace of God. And I pray this evening, and the Lord has so impressed it upon my heart even for Sunday, the magnificence of the grace of God. And I pray that we would always, again, just lay hold of that, because that is truly everything we need. It's all that we have, because all of that grace is in one thing, and that's in His wondrous Son. So now we come to this second wonderful letter that Paul writes here. And this letter comes about a year later. And as opposed to putting the church in order, and you'll read all these different commentaries about 2 Corinthians as well, about all of the meanings and all of the hidden things. And, you know, it's very obvious this is a priestly testimony at this time. Brother Paul is being encouraged in the Word of God to bring the high calling doctrine to these folks. And I think it's important. The Lord has laid upon my heart something we read back in Colossians. And I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Again, to understand and really receive of the Lord of who this sweet brother was, that the Lord Himself said through His Word, follow Me as I follow Christ. This precious brother, his faith, his love, this dispensation that was given to him. Now let's read 1 Colossians verse 24. Brother Paul speaking here. Who now rejoice in My sufferings for you. See, they knew they were really getting somewhere, if you really know the Word of God. When this brother started suffering, the very power of Christ was resting upon this life. This was something was special was ready to come forth. And I hope we understand, as we follow Christ as Paul, that same power, brothers and sisters, is yours. The very power of Christ is resting upon you. Lay hold of that suffering. Cherish it. That's God's love in your life. And it's the only way, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, that God is dealing with, that I know God has given a great love in my heart for this meeting. There's no way I could exist. There's no way I could go on in a day from the things that the Lord has me see if I didn't know the plan of God, that it's more precious than gold tried in the fire. That if you'll suffer with Him, I see you reigning. And that's the only way. I'd want it to be different naturally. Absolutely. I have compassion. But thank God, and I'll tell you, thank God I'm not God, because I sure would mess it up. See, He loves you so that He knows what you need to grow in Him. He does. Exactly. And it's not in the life that's sitting next to you or the life that's over here. It's your life. It's your path. And it's your walk that He has. So He says here, who now rejoice in My sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in My flesh, for His body's sake, which is the church. How this brother loved. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation. And again, this that stewardship, that wonderful revelation, the very mystery of God that of the ages that was brought out to this brother. But the dispensation of God, which is given to Me for you, to fulfill. And that word also means to complete the Word of God. This brother was sent for the very completion. This vessel was chosen for the very completion of the Word of God. And I believe that we're going to venture into a wonderful book here that is the furtherance of that completion message, the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus that we will find that has been written to these Corinthians and to us. So here we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And I think it's precious to take note of his introduction to the 1 Corinthians letter that he wrote. He said there back in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It's not called anymore. It's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The Lord has proven Himself through this vessel. There is boldness that's growing in Paul. He understands that his calling is true, and he understands that he is willed of God to bring forth this message. What a wonder. And it goes on to say, and Timothy, our brother. Now he has a different one that he mentions with him here. Sosthenes was the one that was mentioned in the first invitation. And in Sosthenes, we find that that name means salvation. Wonderful, the salvation. But as we read last week, Timothy is honored of God. We're going on. We're moving up. This is the very high calling time. There's a high level that is being lifted up here to these people by the grace of God. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, we read last week again that this word Achaia, it means suffering. So all the saints that are in suffering. Well, I would imagine I'm looking out upon tonight all the saints that are experiencing suffering. And praise be to God for it. Because He says in His Word, and He promises us, that if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. That if we will suffer jointly together with Him, we will reign jointly together with Him. That we may be glorified together with Him. This is the plan of God. This is the promise of God. And this is so wonderful because this invitation is the same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this invitation is to us this evening. Now, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I am just again in awe how the Lord brings it so bluntly to us, where He says, grace be to you and peace. Again, we know we will never have peace without grace. Grace has to come before peace will ever enter into our lives. As Christians, and I still know that at times that we fight against ourselves. We fight against this mind that we think that it's coming through merit or deed or effort. Brothers and sisters, it's anything but that. It's the very grace of God. We are His workmanship. I am so thankful that we studied that wonderful book of Hebrews. And there's so many references that we could go. But I do want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm thankful that God is revealing in my life this rest, this peace. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, let's read this. And this is God's very peace. And that's the only peace that we'll ever have. But let's read where God's very peace comes from. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This is the ninth verse of the fourth chapter. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest for us. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Isn't that wonderful? When God saw that it was perfect, when God saw that his creation was done, how wonderful that he rested because he knew that it was in his Son's hands. Praise the Lord. That it was His Son, everything was created by Him, for Him. Without Him, nothing was made. All things consist and hold together because of Him. And His wonderful Father rested in that. And this is the invitation to us this evening, brothers and sisters. If you're not resting tonight, it's because you have not ceased from your own work. Are you listening to the Word of God? If you are not resting this evening, it's because you have not ceased from your own work. You're still trying to get it done. You're still trying to put your hand upon that piece of clay that only God can mold. That only God can raise up. That only God can perfectly make, that it can be treasure within the earthen vessel. I couldn't hold anything within myself that would be a treasure of God. It has to be His doing. It has to be the new skin as we've been rejoicing in. It has to be the new creation. And I'm telling you, that new creation is only but and from God. Amen. 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 So again, we have this wonderful peace because of His wonderful grace. And we notice that it is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about a perfect union. You talk about perfect unity. You're talking about the wonderful God the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in that, let's read verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Isn't this wonderful about our blessed be God? I loved it. Love this. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. This is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort or encouragement. Praise the Lord. And in this, I hope you see this wonderful triune God, this wonderful Trinity that presents itself here, and the marvel of this comfort that's brought to us. See, God the Father, as it says here, is the God of all comfort. There's no other comfort but of God, but from God. He is comfort. Whatever you're trying to find your comfort in, whether it's a job, a bigger bank account, a home, a relationship, it's going to end. It's going to cease. Because there's one place that we will ever find comfort. There's only one place that we will ever receive that comfort. It's not from being loosed from somebody. It's not from being joined to somebody. It's only from God. And I hope we understand that. That grass is not greener on the other side. It isn't. You've got God on your side, and it's right there. And we need to open up to it and realize that this is the God of all comfort. And then how beautiful that the God of all comfort, you say, well, where does His comfort lie? Well, it lies in one place, and that's in His Son, Jesus. His Son, His wondrous Son, His only begotten Son, is that comfort. That's how we became accepted to God. That's what made atonement for us. That's what made me white as snow. That's what, by the grace of God, allowed me go boldly into the throne of grace. You talk about comfort. Well, that gave God comfort because He so loved man. What did He send? He sent His only begotten Son. That's who He sent. It gave God comfort because He knew that there was this creation of mankind that He had made. And He wanted to draw that. And He wants to draw man to Him. But there's only one way it can ever come, and that's through His Son. And His Son Jesus gives us that comfort that we can boldly go to God. And His Son Jesus gives Him comfort because that allows us to come unto God. Do you see how perfect the working is with this wonderful God and this comfort that comes back and forth in our life? And then, praise the Lord, we find out how the comfort is applied in our life, and that's through the Holy Spirit. Now we have the precious Trinity that's bringing this comfort to our life. We have God the Father, the comfort's in His Son, and the comfort is applied to us by the Holy Spirit. Now you think about that. How is that applied? How does the Holy Spirit apply that comfort to us? Well, it said, I will lead you, I will guide you into all truth, and this is this wonderful Holy Spirit that does that in our life. The more truth, by the grace of God, that you have put into your life, that you have put into your life, the only thing it's done is give you more comfort. Absolutely. It's made you more sure. It's made you more, it has more faith in your life. You have more love in your life because the God of all comfort is the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. The God of this wonderful comfort, the Comforter, is the one that takes the things of Christ and makes them mine. There's no other comfort like that than knowing that Jesus Christ is mine. He's personally mine. He's for me. I'm the apple of His eye. Oh, yes. There's nothing that can sever me from His love. Oh, and I'm sealed with that wondrous Holy Spirit, aren't I? And it's a seal that can never be broken. Praise God. Now, do you feel a little more comfortable tonight? I hope you do. Because this is how comfortable God wants you to be. Because see, now in that comfort of Him, you see that that's the grace applied. Now we can begin to grow. Because there's freedom. There's nothing I'm fighting against to get the love of God. There's nothing I'm fighting against to get, in a sense, the approval of God. It's there for me. It's there for me. He wants it for me more than I want it for myself. And He has brought that to me through His Son. Study to show thyself approved. People get into that and get into that and get into that. I appreciate that. But it's just applying Jesus Christ to your life, and He's there. And it is His Word. And praise the Lord, that's the comfort that it brings to our life. So this wonderful God of all comfort, as we see, and it goes on further to explain that there in the 14th chapter of John for you. All right, verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? And I love that this is a God of entireties. And it's not just entireties. Again, this is the exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, God. And whenever the Lord tells us something, it's all, isn't it? I've cleansed you from all your sins. All of them have been forgotten. I love this because He who comforts us in all our tribulation. Praise God. He's there for every bit of it. There isn't anything that He will not comfort you in. Do you believe that? I hope you believe it. And by the grace of God, I hope you're experiencing this tonight. That's the growth. That's the wonder of God. Now let's keep reading on here. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now what did we just read about that He comforts with? His Son. Well, that's the Word of God. Well, the Word of God is what comforts us in tribulation. Well, how could that be? Because it's got a plan in the Word of God. When I know the plan of God, I rest. When I know that these strange things that seem fiery in my life, I don't need to think that it's strange. I know exactly where to go in the Word of God and read that there's glory being built in my life. That this is the only way I'm going to grow. That it's the trying of my faith. It's the testing of the love of God in my life. Do I really love the Lord? Do I really trust Him? That He has brought these things into my life. I'm telling you. I've been praying for people in there. And I've been praying for marriages in there. But God has joined. But God is joined. Trust God. Trust God. Your freedom's in Christ. Nothing else. It's in Jesus Christ. Oh God, lift the burden. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now, here comes the wonderful brotherly love that is seen in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I really believe this is check time, brothers and sisters. We need to examine ourselves whether we be in this faith. This is the faith of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we're missing these things, if these things aren't present and apparent and growing and loving in our life, I don't believe we're ready. The Lord so loves that He's bringing these things out. And I believe that we have been given this dispensation. We have been given this awakening, a quickening. It's got a purpose in it. We know that God just doesn't scatter His seed here and there. He doesn't throw it among swine. And we're to receive this and we're to care for this and nurture this by the grace of God in our life. This is the most precious thing that we have. But we need to examine ourselves as truly, are we ready? Are we ready to meet Him? And here we go. Here's Brother Paul. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I'm telling you, I read that verse by the grace of God when I first got into the ministry. And it gave me great peace. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, Lord, there's lots of people that come for help. I haven't been that way. I've never been down that road. I couldn't ever understand. But he told me, you know what, son? I do. I do. And see, I'm starting to understand that when he said, you know, son, I do, that he gives me ability. He gives me godly ability. I got the very power of God resting upon my life. Not because of anything I did, but because of his work. And I'm learning to trust in that. And brothers and sisters, we need to learn to trust in that. It's the greatest power there's ever been. It's the greatest power you'll ever experience. It's believing in the love of God, how he loves you. And that's the faith that he wants, that it's undying, that it's unending, that there is nothing that it can't overcome. And it will enable us, because he is our ability. He's your ability. I found out that God is my ability. By the grace of God, I study, I prepare, I do all those things. But I'm learning when I come before him, when I come before his precious sheep, it's just God. Don't need anything but God. You don't need anything but God. Faith. Love. It's all in grace. And you'll rest. Oh, you'll rest. You'll rest just like God. You think God worries about anything? I don't think he's got anything to worry about. How about you? Well, he said he wanted me to have his very rest. Didn't we read that a moment ago? All I have to do is cease from this nature that keeps trying to defeat what Christ has already won victory over. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Praise God. And it is in him. I want you to know that. He's got to keep finding that love. Praise God. It's all about us. All right. But that we may be able to comfort them. Oh, what a precious statement. Which are in any trouble. See, this is an all-purpose comforter. It's an all-purpose for you. And it's an all-purpose for your brother or sister in Christ. This is that wonderful brotherly love. And how does this happen? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, you come in there for help. We're going to the same place that I get help. Period. It's the same comforter. It's the same comfort wherewith Paul himself was comforted of God. It's the only thing that will ever work. His name is Jesus. Amen. And we're to go boldly. And I pray to God you just go there every moment of your life. Because you're insufficient. I hope you understand that 24/7. In yourself, you're a failure. In yourself, you're a failure. Now, that would not go over well on any of the TV ministries today. Because we're going to figure out how to make you a better person, right? And you're okay. Oh, you're more than okay. And I hope God is showing you how wonderfully and fearfully. And when he entered your life, you became the very spirit. I'm just finding it out every day how refreshing and blessed I am. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. I love the words that the Lord put on Brother Paul's. He said, not as the sufferings are dragging me down all over my life or just, you know, hitting me like a bunch of camels, not like a truck maybe back then, and running over my life. He says, no, they're abounding in my life. Do you see that the glass just isn't half full? It's full and overflowing. Paul's understanding this so sweetly and perfectly, that the very plan of God is this suffering. Oh yes. Yeah. Praise God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Turn with me to Romans 8:18. Romans chapter 8, 18. Another wonderful way to put this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You want a definition of consolation? It's Romans 8:18. That's your definition. Praise God, brothers and sisters. Yes, it does mean encouragement. But encouragement falls so short. I like to think of the glory that shall be revealed in us. How about you? Huh? How about knowing that He is so for us? How about knowing that this word consolation truly means exhorting? Oh yes. Exhorting is a wonderful word. It means looking to the future. What He's trying to tell us there, it's our hope. It's the hope of the high calling. It's pressing towards that mark. It's pressing towards that reward by the grace of God, the crowning day. Everybody got their crown tonight? I hope we do. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I believe the only time I'm ever going to let go of this is when I hand it to Him to put on my head. Yeah. Not going to throw it down. Too valuable. I believe that's another party. I love Him. And I know you do too. Praise God. For as those sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ. And whether we be afflicted... Oh my, listen to this. He's already abounding in His sufferings. He's thankful for all these things. But it even gets better because, again, this is the exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or thank God. It's not just for me. It's for you. It's for you. Your suffering just isn't for you. It's for me. I'm beginning to get this. And you know what? I'm beginning to glory in your tribulation. I don't want any nasty letters now. But I am. And it's only the love of God. See, I couldn't love like that. There's no way. It's not that I want to see anything bad happening to you, but see, I know that that's not bad. I know suffering for Christ's sake, there's nothing more valuable. Because, again, knowing the plan of God, I understand that it's an absolute necessity for you to grow. You're going to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to know that. The only way you're going to grow. And the only way you're going to know Him, we go back and we read that we know Him why and how? By the fellowship of His suffering. The power of His resurrection. What do you think was going on all during that time? Think of the baptism we read about, all of those things. We have recognized that we have died with Him. And praise God, we have been risen together with Him. But I need to be conformable unto His very death. Now, I could never get there. I could never do that. We're talking about very God of very God. But He gave me a spirit that I can go there. He wants a oneness with a mature Son of God. They're going to... All creation groaneth for that day that they're going to be manifest before everything and everyone. And there's no way I'm ever going to get there by the grace of God unless it's Him that takes me through it. I'm one with my wife because we go through it together. Jesus will take you through it together. And He will. And you'll know it. Oh, yes, you will. Because you'll hurt like you never hurt before. I'll guarantee you. You'll groan. And you'll realize, though, that there's a joy in that groaning. That was like a joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross. We have to go there. And only Christ can take us there. Beginning to see it, praise God. I hope we're all going on. So whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. This is the wonderful edification that we, by the grace of God, can be that testimony of spiritual growth one for another. I see it. People ask me often, what can I do for you, brother? Appreciate you so. How about this? Keep suffering for Christ's sake. Won't be many in the meeting long, but... You know I loved you as you said goodbye. I speak in that sweet brother of mine and those sisters that gather. And every one of those brothers, their jobs have been taken. And it hurts. It hurts me. But I'm not crying in pity. You're not going to find pity in here. Pity's not going to get you nowhere. God's moving me to the consolation. I'm seeing the encouragement that God's doing in your life. There's nothing greater. God, it's getting through. This is real. We're moving on and it's close. I can see it over yonder. But this final stretch, it's the most pressing time. And it had to be that way. And it has to be that way. Oh, yes. You know why? Because there's no other way. There's no other way. It's that way. So again, we see that it's effectual now in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. See, this is such bridal encouragement here. There's joint sufferings. We're of one body. If I'm not suffering with you, I tell you, I'm not in the spirit I need to be. I'm not. I can't turn away. I need to enter into some prayer. And I mean, I need to go to worship. Because I'm telling you, only the love of God's going to bring me through that time to see the different ones suffering. Being pressed out of measure. How about seeing brothers and sisters that I know truly love the Lord and there go their children and it just not, doesn't make sense. Raised in a godly home. Mom and dad were fighting the good fight of faith for them, but you know what? They're an individual, brothers and sisters, and they're making choices. And I pray they would make the choice of the will of God, which is honor your mom and dad. You know what? They love you more than anybody ever going to love you. If they're the right kind of godly parents, and I know there's a lot of them in here, and I hope kids are listening to this today. Honor your mom and dad. And there's no time limit to that, by the way, either. I'm talking to my boys. No time limit. As unto the Lord. As unto God. Everybody wants to do something for God. I know a lot of Christians, well, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go build houses. I'm going to go give my all my money. I'm going to go serve soup and I'm going to do these types of things. If God's telling you to do that, wonderful. Just read the Word of God over and over. It just says, trust Him. Allow my Word to work effectually in your life. Most importantly, grow in grace and knowledge. And that's submitting to God first and foremost. We submit as children to our parents. And as brothers and sisters of like faith, we submit to one another. I need to prefer you and you need to prefer me. And we need to be considerate. And yeah, I may be able to handle something naturally a little bit better than you. Or maybe you can handle something a little bit naturally better than me. But I hope we have the compassion of God that allows me to pray and say, oh Lord, be the strength. Let them live the victory. Don't let them be defeated, Lord. It may be such a small thing in my eyes, but I don't know what you're going through. I don't. But you know what? You don't know what I'm going through either. But I know one thing, that as we're looking to this, and as we're really following Paul as he followed Christ, I know what we're coming to. So do you think I could rejoice for you in that suffering? Do you think you can rejoice in a tribulation that I might have, that it's not going to waylay you, but you're going to trust God? And you're not going to say, oh, what evil must that brother have done to receive that kind of honorary punishment, huh? God help us. God help us. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. That's compassion like you can't even understand, because it's God's. I want to love like Him, and only He can allow that to happen. A lot in here. Oh my. We haven't even touched it. But whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. See, I want that reciprocated blessing from you, brothers and sisters. I want it. You ever thought of it? Again, how the Lord brought us in there in Corinthians. We understood that He's the head and we're the body. We're joined with Him. Praise God. And as He said, we're to love one another without dissimulation, no hypocrisy. We need to love one another. As His family, we're already joined in Him. We need to embrace that. How can I say I love Christ if I don't love my brother? You getting the connection here? Christ is the head, and He's got a body. It's all or nothing. It really is the way to God's best. You see that? You're never going to get away from that body. We joke a little bit and say, well, you know, you're going to heaven too. Huh? Well, they're not going to be anything like that. Well, you know what? Neither am I. Huh? But see, I want that to get out of my life. I want that rid. Because what I see now and the jewel that I see now is the reward that's going to meet me when I meet Him. There's a love that's working. And it is working. It's exciting. I can see it. God wouldn't be pressing us so much. And I see that we want to gather ourselves together the more. I love when people say, and I believe it's for the right reasons, that, you know, brother, can we get together again? Can we, you know, have this ladies' Bible study, God willing, Sister Carol be doing, by the grace of God, coming up. There's an urgency to get together in the Word of God. There's a salve in that. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. And how fitting that we should truly want to get together, especially with the body from the body. Oh my, where's He going with that one? Well, that's a bridal company. I need to embrace you as that bridal company like I'm embracing the Lord, or I'm missing it. Do you understand that one? Tell you, that one's even hard to get to sometimes. But Jesus Christ is the head of that wonderful body that will be His bride. And I need to love her today as I love the Lord. And you need to love her today as you love the Lord. And when we, brothers and sisters, think, well, I'm a bridal saint, and I have every opportunity to come to church. Hear me. And yes, I'm going to step on toes. I've got love shoes on, but they're heavy. It's true. But I'm just going to stay at home because I already know this stuff. You're not embracing the body of the bride. And you're not. I can't get away from you. Because I love you. And you can't get away from me. As we run together to run for His best. We can't, can we? It's just too good. I want to be with you. Because we're part of that very body that will be His bride. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast. That means it's secure. Knowing, there's no doubt here, that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. That's how we get through. That's how I can finally look upon your suffering with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because there's no way that I'm ever going to win Christ's best unless I suffer and receive the vision of the consolation. That's the very encouragement of God coming in. That's His very Son bringing His Word of God to me. That's the very exhortation that allows me to see the future, in a sense, that day that's rapidly approaching, that I'm looking for, that I'm longing for by grace, that I'll meet Him in the air. There's no other way you're going to get there. That's it. That's the blueprint. That's the plan. Now we can move on. Praise God. Praise God. I love that. Just a few more verses and we'll wrap it up. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. See, that's the only way you're finally going to get that. Some people are just so hard-headed. Got to bring you right to death's door to understand, you know what? You better quit trusting in yourself. You're about ready to die. Not going to work. You know? It's God. But in God, what? Which raiseth the dead. Isn't that precious? So going back there. So Brother Paul, he wasn't ashamed of his suffering for Christ. Don't be ashamed of your suffering for Christ. I pray you're not. I hope that you would glory in the Lord as the Lord would reveal forth the very power of Christ resting upon you. Huh? But you see how God's ways aren't our ways. We're thinking that the glory of the Lord, it's got to be that the brother got the new job. Not that the brother lost his job. That couldn't be the very power of Christ resting upon him. Because people don't know their Bible. It's not prosper and be in health. It's prosper and be in suffering. It is. It really, truly is. Brother Paul was praying for this stuff. We're going to get there later on in 2 Corinthians. If the Lord tarry, they're in... I'll just turn there real quick. Chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Let's read that real quick and we'll close here with that. Oh, it's hard to stop, but I know... Don't want to exhaust you here. Chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, and I hope the Lord's saying unto you, is he speaking this to you? Oh, I pray he's speaking this to you. My grace. We've just been reading, there's nothing else. Nothing else is going to bring the comfort. It's not my positive thinking. It's not, well, I'm going to envision, I'm just so tired of hearing this. Well, you have to envision you're going to have a better job and you'll have a better job and then you'll have a better life. And you have to envision that you're not going to be single anymore and then you'll have the right person that'll be with you. Without a vision, the people perish. And what I just mentioned there is no vision at all and you will perish. You will fall away from the very plan of God with that junk that's being pumped into pretty much every single book that's out there. And these are people that love God. I am going to tell you that. But I'm tired of it. Because it's robbing God's people. And I believe it robs people in here. Don't compromise the precious truth of Jesus Christ. Don't neglect so great salvation. He gave His life for it. And He's given us such great witness to have, and I know most of us, a Brother Hill that gave out that word like he did. Brother Copley, Sister Bodies. Shame on us if we'd miss that. We have been dining at the king's buffet for how many years? Don't let the garbage tempt you. And maybe there's a boldness coming on. And I'll just pray about it. But I'm tired. That we would ever minimize such great salvation. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen to this. This is God's word. He made you. He created you. This is how it works. His strength is perfect in your weakness. If you're after His best, you are going to be stripped. It's going to happen. Whether it's your health, whether it's your mind, whether it's abilities, natural things are going to have to fall away. This is faith. And if we'll see it, you'll have a joy unspeakable and full of glory if you couldn't even move your arms or legs for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's true. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore. Most gladly. Nothing better. This is the ultimate. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. And think of how our nature is. We want to get away from that. The Lord said it's not joyous. But the Lord also tells me too, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Power of Christ is not when all men speak well of you. Power of Christ is not when we have 1,500 people sitting in the aisles and in this church. Could be, but I don't think it's going to be. The power of Christ is when all in Asia have forsaken you. The power of Christ is when all of those people that knew you for so long start to say, oh, you're one of those. And I don't think I want to be around that. Because you're not of the world any longer. That's the power of Christ. And don't let this world fool you. And don't let this Christian world fool you. We're almost there, brothers and sisters. It's almost over. Glory time is about here. And I believe we've believed a truth that there's no refuting it. Whether it was those Bible colleges that looked at Brother Copley's tracts, they said, well, we don't preach this, but you know what? There's nothing in it scripturally we can't say that isn't so. So it's your choice. I want to believe Him at His word. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I'm getting quiet again. You got crazy love for Jesus enough to get glorying in your infirmities? Oh, I think so. I think it's coming about. There's an infectious love coming on people in here. Brother, I just lost my job. Can you imagine? I got diagnosed with cancer today. I'm not making light of it. This was this brother. I'm going to prison today. Because Jesus put me there.
And now, the time of my departure is at hand, and these wolves are licking their chops because they're going to cut my head off. But I've never been more excited my entire life. Is it that real? Amen. See, this is what Christ is asking us, really, truly. Is it that real? In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Remember, for Christ's sake. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And he says in that ninth verse, but we had the sentence of death. But see, that was the victory. It was the Christ-like suffering. That we should not trust in ourselves. There was not defeat here. Oh no, we weren't going to go that way. But we trust in God, which raised the dead. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful Lord? Oh my. I'm excited about this, brothers and sisters. I think you are too. Because, see, this is God's plan and it's His work. And these are things that are so needful for us today. Because you know what? I know your life is in what we read this evening. Put yourself there. Christ Jesus sees you there. This is real. This faith is going on today. This is playing out today. This may have happened to Brother Paul 2,000 years ago, but this same faith and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is being played out today. Praise God. Let's stand.